Okay, Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now on Yevamot Daf Kuf Hey Amud Aleph at the very bottom of the Amud, and we will study today of one full Daf going to the bottom of Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. Cheret Shenachlatz. Back in Mishnah Dalet, we talked about problematic actors. We mentioned that in the Mishnah that if a katan has his shoe taken off by the Yevama, that it is invalid. That's Rabbi Meir who says that asu chalitzat katan keget begadol. So therefore, she may not have yibum anymore with the family, but needs another chalitza, proper chalitza. Chachamim in chalitzat katan klum. Chachamim disagreed and said that indeed the bia of a ben teisha is like ma'amar of a gadol, but they did not extend that in the other direction and say the chalitza of a katan is like a get begadol. Rather, the chalitza of a katan is absolutely nothing. That's if the guy is a katan. Now, katanasha chalitza, the next clause in Mishnah Dalet said that if the yevama is a katan, she does chalitza, she has to do another chalitza when she's older, which means it is meaningful. That's Rameir. De'amar ish katuba parsha. After all, the Torah talks about the ish as being the guy who comes to the Beit Din, and therefore we know he has to be an adult. Umakshina isha le'ish. And therefore we say, since he has to be a gadol, she has to be a gadol also. Hachom ramim ish katuba parsha. They say, no, it only says ish. Isha ben gila ben tana. There is no requirement that the Yevama has to be of age, and therefore, if she does chalitza, as long as she knows what she's doing, then we consider it totally valid. Now, man chachamim, who are these chachamim? In other words, is this the consensus opinion? The answer is no, Rabbi Yosihi. It's really just Rabbi Yosi, that's what we're referring to. Of course, that is the halacha, although in the end it will not be, but normally Rabbi Yosi nimukoimo. And here's the story to back it up. The Rabbi Chiya of Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe. Rabbi Chiya was the close student of Rebbe, and Rabbi Shimon, of course, Rebbe's son. Havu Yatvi, and we'll see that they were sitting towards the outside of the Beit Midrash of Rebbe. Patacha min avimam palatzo shitein avlamata. They were talking about tefillah, and one of them said, when you daven, you have to look down. Shinemar, they quote the pasuk in Malachim, where Hashem promises Shlomo that he will inhabit the Beit HaMikdash that Shlomo has just dedicated. He says, Vayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. My eyes and my heart will be there. There meaning the ground. Chanamar einav l'mala. And the other said, you have to look up. Said, Shnemar, the pasuk inecha, nisal avinu al kapayim el bashamayim. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands towards the heavens. Adahachiyat v'rishmo v'rbiyosi l'gavayos. V'rishmo v'rbiyosi, whose father was a teacher of Rebbe, came to them. He came evidently to learn from Rebbe. Amar lehu v'mayas kitos. He asked them, what are you studying? Amar leh b'tfilah, we're studying about tfilah. Amar lehu, and evidently he found out what the particular dispute they were having. Kach amar abba, he quoted his father, saying, palel tzrich shitein enav l'mata. You're right, you have to look down. V'libo l'mala, but your heart should be faced up. Kadesh yitkemu shnei mikraot halalu. And that's how we resolve both psukim. Good, that's the setup. Now, adahachi, while this was happening, Ata Rebbe Lemetivta, Rebbe himself came to the Beit Midrash. Inu Dahabu Kalili, these two who were considered lightweights, Yitivu B'Tuchtayu, they stayed in their place. Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, because Agav Yukre, because he was so important, V'mafsav Azel, he was walking sort of over people and coming to come close to the Rebbe. Amalei Avdan, so a particular Chacham there named Avdan, whose name is unfortunately quite telling, who is this person who's walking on top of the students? So he said, I'm Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Shabbat l'mot Torah mi Rabbi. I came to study from Rabbi. He said, who are you that you can come and study Torah from Rabbi? He said, and Moshe Rabbeinu studied from Hashem. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? In other words, he's saying that to study, you don't necessarily have to have the bona fides that equate you to the Rabbi. Amar levichi Moshe ata. What, are you Moshe? Amar levichi Rabbi Elohimu. And Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said back to Avdan, is your Rabbi God? In other words, I'm coming to study with him. That's certainly no greater of a distance than between Moshe and Hashem. Rabbi Yossi, shakli Rabbi lemitrafse. Rabbi got angry, wanted to throw him out. Why? Amar le Rabbi Chavelo Rabbi. because when he spoke to Avdan, he said, "You're Rebbe, not Rebbe." In other words, he was a little disgraceful. Adahachi ati yevama lekami Rebbe. But in the meantime, while all this tumult is happening, as I mentioned several times, the Beit Midrash was also the Beit Din, and yevama came before Rebbe. Amarle Rebbe Avdan. So Rebbe then told the same Avdan, "Fuk vadka, go outside and check to see if she's of age that she can do chalitza." Levatad Rafak Amar Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Yishmael spoke up and said, "Kachamar Abba," he quoted his father, "Ish katuma parsha, while isha bengdola bengtana." The only requirement of majority is that the man be an adult, but the girl could be adult or not, or younger. Amarle ta lo tzrichat. So then Rabbi said to Avdan, "You don't need to go. Kvar haraz zaken, because we already have the teaching of the zaken, Rabbi Yossi, that you know that, and so therefore bring the girl in. We don't care how old she is; she could do chalitza." Kamafsa Avdan va'ati. So Avdan was now pushing his way through. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, "Mish tzarich lo am kadosh, yifsal Rashem kadosh." So Shmuel Rabbi Yossi now insulted him and said, "The one who is needed by the am kadosh, he can walk on their heads. In other words, push his way through." Somebody who's not needed. In other words, he was saying that Avdan made a mistake and went out to look for some information that was not needed. Why are you pushing your way through? So Rebbe then turned to Avdan and said, "You're right, stay put, he's right, stay put." Tana botasha anitzare Avdan. And then we find out that Avdan indeed had a bad end. He became a leper, mitzora. Tavushne Vanav, and his two sons drowned at that point, Umeyanushte Chalotav, and his two daughters-in-law at that time did miun, and a family tragedy. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, to try to sort of save face here, said, "Blessed is Hashem who embarrassed Avdan terribly in this world," as if to say that his scar in the world to come is still intact. Avdan evidently should have treated Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yossi with a little more respect. But from all of this, Rabbi Ami said, we learn from Rebbe that a ktana can do chalitza if she's at least of the age of pu'utot. Pu'utot, that's a sugi in gittin, is an age of a young person who is already capable of understanding something of value. The Gemara in Gittin says that pu'utot, to do mekach omemkar, is valid. In other words, if they buy and sell something, it's considered valid. What's a putot? Around 6, 7 years old, you give them something of value and they keep it, give it something that looks the same, but is not of value, they throw it away, they understand. Tzror v'zorko, it goes v'not lo. And so he said, therefore, putot should be able to do chalitza. Rava amar achtagel onat nedarim. Rava said, no, it doesn't mean that putot, but rather onat nedarim. What's onat nedarim? It's 1 year before majority. The Mishnah says that when a girl reaches the age of 11 and she takes a neder from 11 to 12, we check to see if she knows what she's doing. If she does, then the neder is valid. After 12, it's automatically valid. Before 11, we don't even check, it's not valid. So Rava says, good for a girl who does chalitza. If she's 11, it's valid, but not before that. V'hilchatach tavishtei sarot. In the end, we rejected all of this and said, no, she really does have to be a gedola, and if she does chalitza before that age, it's invalid. In spite of this whole story with Rav Yossi and with Rebbe. Good. The next Mishnah Hay, talked about the size of the Beit Din and said, Chalsa b'shnayim. If you did the Chalitza with two or three and one of them turned out to be invalid, then it is invalid. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar said it is valid, and they told the story about Rabbi Kiva. We already saw this quote. Rav Nachman said, we do not accept the ruling of this pair, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar. Rav Nachman already said that. He said you need three for chalitza. The answer is you need both statements. If we only had Rav Nachman saying you need three, I would think that that's lechatchila you need three. But b'diavad, maybe two or maybe even one would be okay. Therefore, we have to have him say, reject and say that chalitza that's done with one is invalid. If we only have the second statement, the one in our Mishnah, Elaka Tanakama, that the Allah is like Tanakama, I might think that our Mishnah is only referring to B'diavad if you had three and one was lost. Tanakama says no good. I might think Lachatchila, you need even more. Maybe he would rule like Rabbi Yehuda in the original opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that you need five. Tzricha. So therefore, I need to know that three is both necessary and sufficient. Okay? Now, Maaseh Shechatzu, then they have this story about Rabbi Akiva. Veino leveina miyadana. Wait, if the story is read as literally that the fellow gave chalitza to the girl and nobody was around, then who knows that he did this at all? Why was the question even brought to Rabbi Akiva to see if it was good? There were edim who saw through the window that he was giving her chalitza. The question is how to read the Mishnah, how to parse the Mishnah. What happened in prison? Did he give her chalitza outside, in a normal place? And then the question was brought to Rabbi Akiva when he was in prison. We know from several sugyot that Rabbi Akiva, while he was in prison, before being executed, they would come and ask him questions, sometimes surreptitiously, sometimes openly. Is that what happened? Odilma ma'aseh shechatzo bein alveina v'et asurin. Maybe the story happened in Beit Asurin. It happened there, and it was brought there, meaning that the Yavam and the Yavama were in Beit Asurin, and Rabbi Kiva was in the Beit Asurin, and so witnesses saw it, somehow the word got out, and therefore some Chachamim came to Rabbi Kiva and said, in prison, maybe the same prison, this case happened, they did Chalitza privately. What's the story? Rabbi Kiva said, Mutar. Good. Now, the next sugya, which will take us almost to the end of the daf, or on the very top of Kufav Amud Aleph, is the sugya of Chalitza Mut'et. Literally, a deceptive Chalitza. Now, just as a slight preface here, as we've already seen several times, Chalitza sometimes, even in the time of the Chachamim, and even rejecting Abba Shaul, who says Chalitza is always preferred, Chalitza sometimes was the preferred alternative if the fellow was old and she was young, or vice versa, or we thought that this was not a good match for whatever reason, or if we had reason to suspect that he was trying to get himself connected to a wealthy family or whatever. So sometimes we would want to employ Chalitza in a way that would trick him into doing the Chalitza, and it would still be valid. That's Chalitza Mutet. So Tanu Rabbanan, Chalitza Mutet Kshera, we say that a deceptive Chalitza is Kasher. What does that mean? Ezoi Chalitza Mutet. So Amr Shlokesh. Shlokesh has the first explanation. Kol Shomrim Lo Chalotzu V'Chachata Konsa. Any situation where we tell the guy, do Chalitza, and that's how you can marry her. We're really fooling him. We're saying, let her take off the shoe and spit and say these words, whatever they mean, and that's how you get to marry her. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Shlokesh, Anish Shoneh, I have a Mishnah that says, Bein Shinit Kaven Hu V'Lin Kavnah Hi. Bein Shinit Kavnah Hi V'Lin Kaven Hu. If he had Kavana for Chalitza and she didn't, or vice versa, Chalitza Ta P'sula, Ad Shikavnu Shneim Ke'achad. It's invalid until they both have intent for Chalitza, meaning Chalitza of a separation. V'yata Marchi L'atzatak Shira, and you think that if we tell the guy, that's how you could marry her, by having her take off your shoe and having her spit and say these words, that it's valid? How can it be valid? The guy obviously has no intent for separation. Ella, so Rabbi Yochanan has a different explanation. Kol she'omrim lo chalotzla amanash tin lach 200 zuz. We tell him, listen, we can get her to pay you money if you will do chalitza. In other words, he understands that he's separating from her, but he has the promise of money coming to him, and we deceive him that way, and then after he does the chalitza, we say, nah, 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 and you get nothing. Tanya namihachi, chalitza mut'et k'shera. Now we have a braita that says that. V'ezui chalitza mut'et, what is a chalitza mut'et? So this braita explicates, kol shomrim chalotz lamanat sh'tein lach 200 zuz. Any situation where we say to him, give her chalitza, let her do chalitza, on condition that she'll give you lots of money. 200 zuz is the common amount used throughout the Tanaitic literature to indicate a large amount. There's a story about a girl who fell to a Yavam who wasn't the right guy for her. Whatever reason, age, position. And they told him, give her chalitza, let her do chalitza, she'll give you lots of money. And in the end, she did chalitza, and she didn't pay him. And then the guy's complaining that I still have a claim. And then the story came to Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya said she can marry out, she doesn't owe him any money. Now we hear a couple stories relative to this. So there's a guy who came to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amarla BT. So he turned to the girl and he said, Amodi, stand up in order to do Yibum. Amrale Ima. So now the mother of the girl spoke up and said, Yeshivata Zui Amidata. Very poetic. She said, her sitting is her standing, meaning you told her to stand up for Yibum. Her sitting down, meaning avoiding marrying this guy, is the best thing for her. She said it poetically, but she basically said, marrying this guy is not a good idea. Amarla Yadatle, so then he spoke to the mother and he said, do you know him? Amarla Yin, I know him. Mamona Hudachazala, he saw that she has money. The Kaboy Mamechlamina, he wants to go and spend it. In other words, he wants to marry my daughter because he knows there's money in the family. And that's what he's after. Amarla, so then, Lo Nechalach, he then turned to the either for the mother or perhaps the girl and said, do you want him? Amarla Lo, I don't. Amarle Chalotzla. So then he said to the guy, and evidently the guy was not privy to the previous conversation, he brought the guy out and he said, get letter du chalitza, uvechachata konsa. Now this goes back to Rish Lakish. He said, letter du chalitza, that's how you could marry her. So the guy, very eager to marry her, went along with it. Levato de chalotzla, after he gave her chalitza, Amarle hashta minachiv salala. Then Urchia Bar Abba turned around and said, now you can't marry her at all, because you did chalitza. However, it's not a valid chalitza. Chalotzla chalitza mawaita. Now do a proper chalitza. Now she can marry somebody else. In other words, however he couched it, whether we made a mistake or whether we fooled you, somehow we have set it up that you could never marry her. Now that you could never marry her, give her proper chalitza so she can marry somebody else. And evidently, from the fact the story stops at this point, the fellow went along. Now, bat chamua de Rav Papa. Rav Papa's sister-in-law, meaning the daughter of the father-in-law of Papa, nafla lifnei Yavam. So she fell to a Yavam. Evidently, Rav Papa's, possibly his brother died. She'ein hagunla. And so she fell to another brother, or perhaps this is Rav Papa's father. So this is Rav Papa's father-in-law's daughter. So she fell to a Yavam. It was not the right guy for her. Ata lekamei d'Abaye. So they came to Abaye. Amarle, so he said to the guy, Chalotzla v'chachata konsai. He gave her the same advice to try to get him not to marry her, and fooled him by saying, oh, you want to marry her? Give her chalitza. Amarle Papa. So Papa turned to Abaye and said, L'savala marla hadam Rabbi Yochanan. Don't you accept what Rabbi Yochanan said, that you need to have kavana? So Abaye said, what should I tell him? Obviously out of earshot of the guy. He gave him the other advice about the money. So fine. So Papa promised that if you give chalitza, I'll give you 200 zuz. After he gave chalitza, Amarla zil havle. So he said to the girl, go pay him. Amarle, so Papa spoke up on her behalf and said, Meshata nibacha avdale. She said, I'm fooling you. That's what she did. Meshata nibacha. Milo Tanya, don't we have support for that from a brighter that says, Haresha yaborech meitasurin. A guy's running away from prison. This is where he's imprisoned wrongly. Vaitama baralafanav. And there's a ferry in front of him, and the guy is taking his time. He's not about to go now. He doesn't have room for the guy, whatever it is. Vamare told dinarvi of Aviranian. So the fellow coming from prison says, I'll pay you a dinar, which is like an exorbitant amount of money, to have him go across the river, and then the fellow takes him across. After he gets across, the guy can say, listen, the normal fee is $5. I'll give you $5. I'm not going to pay you the $1,000 I promised you. Why? In other words, a person could say, I was fooling you. Meaning, I was in dire straits. I made a promise that I never intended to keep. You will get your normal fee, but you're not going to get the exorbitant thing that I promised. The same thing our Papa said is how we should understand my sister-in-law's promise to this fellow that she would give him lots of money. She was doing it to get him to do the right thing. And really, he has nothing coming to him. Amarle, so Abaye was very upset by this. And he turned to her papa and he said, Avuchecha, where's your father? Amarle b'mata, he's in the city. Imachecha, where's your mother? Amarle b'mata. Evidently, from the Shonim, what it seems to mean is that Abaye was saying, Rapapa seems to have a lot of time to spend to figure out all of these very elaborate things because he's being supported by his family. So evidently Abaye looked at them or did something and they died. Her papa's parents. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Chalitza mutet kshera, this is our deceptive chalitza, is valid. Get mutet pasul, but a get that has a condition in it and without anticipation of really fulfilling condition is really invalid. Chalitza mu'useit psula, but a forced chalitza is pasul. Get mu'useit kasher, the famous sugya at the end of Gittin, a forced get is kasher. Now, hechidami, how does that play out? If the guy says, I'm willing to give the get, even with his hand behind his back twisted, and says, Rotzeani, I feel the chalitza nami, then if he does that with chalitza, it should be valid. If he doesn't say the magic words, I'm doing this voluntarily, get nami, though, then a get is also invalid. He has to say Rotzeani. So, Hachikamar, this is really how it should read. Chalitza mutet leolam kasher. A deceptive chalitza is always good. V'get mutali olam pasul, a deceptive get. Sorry, deceptive chalitza is always good, a deceptive get is always invalid. Chalitza muset, v'get muset, but a forced chalitza or get, zinin kashem, zinin pasul. Sometimes they'll be good, sometimes they won't, will be invalid, but they'll go along the same lines. Hadama rotsa'ani, if the guy says rotsa'ani, each one is valid. Hadalom rotsa'ani, if he doesn't say rotsa'ani, then each one is invalid. Netanya, where do we get this from? Yakrivoto, the pasuk number 3 on the page. So the person has to bring a korban. Yakrivoto, lirtsono. Malamechikofinoto, what does this prove? Proves in certain cases, a korban may be forced. Yachol balkorcho, I may think that it's absolutely against his will. Tamen lomar lirtsono. Therefore it says, yakrivoto lirtsono. Now, lirtsono here is being interpreted in later Hebrew meaning ratzon according to his will. Haketzad. We force him until he says, I want to. Anybody interested in seeing, take a look at the Rambam, Perek Bet of Hilchot Gerushin and Halacha Chaf, the very famous treatment, and if you want to look further, look at the Or Sameach, his comment there about the way that we understand this get me'useh. It's something we will deal with in detail when we get to Gittin. But we force him to say, I want to. So it's not only about certain korbanot, but also about get. So that's the sugya of get mu'useh. So we say chalitza mu'useh and get mu'useh are the same. If the guy says rotze ani, even though he's being forced to say those words, but the formal presentation is that he's doing it voluntarily, then it's fine. And if not, equally for chalitza and get. Good. Amar Rav Rav Schor Rav Huna. Chotzin av misha in makirin. So Rava, quoting Rav Huna, says we give chalitza even if we don't know the players. In other words, a man comes to us and says, I am the brother-in-law, and gives chalitza, we allow such a chalitza, right? And if a girl comes, 11 years old, and says, this is my husband who I married, my mother married off, and I want to walk out on him, she says, miyun, we do that. Therefore, we cannot write a get chalitza or a get miyun unless we actually know the players. Because the fact that we saw these two people come, fine, we're going to approve of it, but we don't know if they're really, if this is the real brother-in-law or the real husband, and therefore we don't know if we can't give her a get because she may have a situation where she's afraid of her husband, she's not willing to do it, where it's a case of a brother-in-law who's disappeared or whatever. She grabs some guy off the street and brings him in. So we allow her to do it, but we won't write a get based on that. We're concerned that the Beit Din might err. And therefore, we don't write such a get unless we actually know the players. That's Rava quoting Rav Huna. Rava didei amar, but on his own he said, "Ein chotzin olikem makirin, v'mani olikem makirin." We don't do chalitza or miyun unless we actually know the players and check into their identity. Lefichach, therefore, if witnesses were in a Beit Din and saw that the miyun or chalitza happened, kotvin get chalitza of bishen makirin. Then we witnessed it can write a get chalitza. We kotvin get miyun of bishen makirin. We can write a get miyun. Even if we don't know the players, because we know the Beit Din would never do it unless they knew the players, and they know that this really is the husband or the brother-in-law. And therefore we have no suspicion or concern about Beit Din being in error. Tov, we have completed today's study, and it's Hashem in the next podcast, which will be the final one on the parak. We will have one short amud of Kuv Vav Amud Bet to complete to finish the 12th parak. Everyone should have a wonderful day.